started in May, almost a 2-4 weekend. And since the beginning of the year, it was my intention to review the four mission statement bullets that we have on the wall there. And so we've had a lot of other things come and go, and so we've been somewhat intermittent. But I'm determined to finish the review. And so a week ago, we finished a mini-series on finding freedom. And today we want to go on to the next bullet that you see up there, the third bullet, discovering purpose. You know, there certainly are many people who struggle finding purpose in their lives. Many people who eventually come to a point in their lives where they ask the question, what is the meaning of life? What's it all about? Perhaps they're at a low point where they have worked hard to gain wealth and now have come to realize that the happiness that they thought that money and success would bring just failed somehow to deliver. I've spoken with a few people over the years who have had those kinds of, let's say, secular goals, goal to open a business, a goal to be successful in business, and perhaps they had a certain financial goal at the end of that. And so they worked hard and they worked tirelessly for many years, and when they had achieved that goal, finally it came. But they realized in that moment how hollow it really was. Other folks may find themselves hurting from a broken relationship or grieving the loss of a loved one, and struggling to find purpose in their lives now that that loved one is gone or that relationship is broken and drifted away. And so they find themselves struggling to find that sense of satisfaction and fulfillment that I believe is a God-ordained need in our lives. We all need to feel as though we are making somewhat of a difference, that we are getting a sense of satisfaction from what we are doing and what we are accomplishing. But there are many possible scenarios which would prompt people to ask the question, what is the meaning of life? And certainly many indeed have asked that very question. If you go home and you Google that question, what is the meaning of life? You'll find that there are 3.9 billion hits on the internet in response to that particular question. That's right, 3.9 B as in bunny rabbit, billion hits on the internet. People asking that question, wanting to know what is the meaning of life. Simply a huge number of people trying to determine if life, and more specifically, trying to determine if their life, their individual life, has any purpose. Well, a few years ago, we met and we developed those mission points, mission statement points that you see on the wall there for Chesley Community Church. And we produced a document, and I hope you've read it and still have a copy of it somewhere, that expanded each bullet point, explaining in some detail what we meant by that crisp little statement. So if you haven't read that document recently, I would suggest that you do so. With respect to discovering purpose, this is what we said. We at Chesley Community Church believe that God has plans and purpose for every one of His children. We are valuable and cherished in His sight. We remember from previous session that we are adopted children of the King. We believe that God reveals the details of His plans for us as we desire to walk closely with Him. And we know, now quoting from Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. Note that phrase carefully. According to His purpose. phrase. It's important because, first of all, it points out that the believer, God's adopted child, is not focused on their personal purposes and priorities, but rather on God's specific purpose for them. Or at least, we should be. And you know, that's indeed a radical different perspective from the view of the billion or so people that posed that question on the internet. They weren't locked in, if you will, or they weren't accepting the fact that God has purposes for us. Let's think about another question just for a moment or two. The question is simply this: is God a purposeful God? If he is not, then the likelihood of God having a purpose for us mortals is extremely low. If God has no purpose for us as members of the human race, then we would be left on our own trying to find meaning, trying to find that satisfaction and fulfillment. And so we would be trying to figure out what life is all about from our understanding of what's going on in our world. And in the worst case scenario, and I believe many find themselves in the worst case scenario, we would be left with just trying to make the best of a meaningless existence. No higher purpose, no real meaning to life. But the good news is this: the scriptures reveal God to be very purposeful. We may not know or fully understand all of God's purposes, but we can know with surety from the scriptures that he acts in purposeful ways. Consider these words from Isaiah chapter 45, beginning at verse 11, and I'm reading from the NLT. This is what the Lord says, the Holy One of Israel and your Creator. Now that brings in a very important thought. If he is our Creator, then if he's not a purposeful God, then why would he create us? So it implies that he has purpose in our creation. Do you question what I do for my children? Do you give me orders about the work of my hands? I am the one who made the earth and created people to live in it. So we see here in these verses that God had a purpose. He created the earth and he purposefully created people to live in it. And you and I then are automatically part of God's purpose. And in these verses that immediately follow, we see an example of God having a specific purpose for an individual. So we're going to talk mainly today about general purposes that God has that applies to all of us. But there are then our specific purposes that we have for each of our lives, most of which we'll wait for next week. With my hands I stretched out the heavens, all the stars are at my command. And I will raise up Cyrus to fulfill my righteous purpose. God here taking an individual and assigning a purpose that aligns with his purposes. And I will guide his actions. He will restore my city and free my captive people without seeking a reward. I am the Lord of heaven's armies, have spoken. So we recently talked about the Babylonian captivity, and we're not going to cover that now. God allowed the captivity to happen because of the people's sin. The city of Jerusalem, God's holy city, was destroyed as part of that. And so we see an example from Scripture here that again reveals God to be a purposeful God. Because while he allowed the captivity to happen, and he allowed Jerusalem to be destroyed, he also made a promise that the captives would eventually return. So we see in these verses that I just read, we see God raising up this character named Cyrus so that his purpose, that is God's promise to his people to end the captivity, would be fulfilled. So who was Cyrus? He was the Persian king. Remember, the captivity was happening because Babylon overran Jerusalem. So Babylon was powerful kingdom at the time. But eventually this Persian king in 539 conquers Babylon. So that powerful kingdom is displaced by the Persian kingdom. And Cyrus has a different heart. He gives permission for the first captives to return to Jerusalem and to begin rebuilding the walls and eventually the temple. So we see here that our God is a purposeful God. He has a purpose, an intent to see Jerusalem rebuilt, and he intervenes in the affairs of men, and he uses Cyrus for a specific purpose to see that his goals are accomplished. Here's a second example in Exodus 9:16, where we read about God's word to Pharaoh, spoken to him by Moses. But I have spared you for a purpose, that's Pharaoh, to show you my power and to spread my fame throughout the earth. So we see here again evidence of a purposeful God, God using an individual to accomplish his purpose. So if we've answered that question, if God is indeed a purposeful God, if there's purpose in what he does, then it follows that he would have purpose for his creation, a purpose for his church, and more specifically, a purpose for those of us whom he has adopted and called his own. And if we go now to Genesis chapter 1, we see right from the beginning, right from the very beginning, that God had a number of what I would call general purposes for us as humans. Purposes that involve all of us. Beginning in verse 26, Genesis chapter 1, we read this, "Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us." Here's a purpose coming. "They will reign over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and livestock, all the wild animals on the earth and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. So the first general purpose that we see of God for his creation is that we would reign over the earth. And the second one comes right after that. "Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground." So the first general purposes for mankind was to reign over and manage the planet. And it's important when we think about this, in these days when protecting the environment is receiving a lot of attention, that we should remember that one of God's general purposes for us is that we care for the planet. And you can take some pleasure and satisfaction and enjoyment in doing your little part to preserve the planet, to rule over it. In Isaiah chapter 49, beginning at verse 1, we see more evidence of a purposeful God. First, in the calling of Isaiah to be a prophet, that's an individual calling again, and then the revelation of a general purpose for the nation of Israel, that of bringing God glory. And so we read there, "Listen to me, all you distant lands, pay attention, you who are far away. The Lord called me before my birth," that's Isaiah now, "from the womb he called me by name. He made my words of judgment as sharp as a sword. He has hidden me in the shadow of his hand. I am like a sharp arrow in his quiver. He said to me, you are my servant Israel, and you will bring me glory." So in the last sentence now, he switches from the individual calling to the calling of the nation. And then a little further on in the chapter, we see more details about Isaiah's specific purposes. First, that of being instrumental in bringing his nation back to God. And secondly, we see specific purpose for God's people, the nation of Israel. They were to become a light to the Gentiles, an example of a holy nation worshiping the one true God. And thirdly, the nation would be home to a number of prophets that God would raise up to speak prophetically about salvation being extended throughout the earth. So we pick up reading and say, "And now the Lord speaks, the one who formed me from my mother's womb to be his servant, who commissioned me to bring Israel back to him." This verse resonates with one of the people that we are in Christ. We're ambassadors. We are people who speak on behalf of the Lord. And Isaiah was commissioned to speak to Israel, to challenge them to come back to the Lord. The Lord has honored me, and my God has given me strength. He says, you will do more than restore the people of Israel to me. I will make you a light to the Gentiles, and you will bring my salvation to the end of the earth. So we see it here, and we read it here as specific purposes for Isaiah. But being a light is a common purpose for all of us. Another one of God's common purposes. So we've got many examples of general purposes. Purposes that apply to every one of God's people, and individual purposes, plans, and purposes that God has for each one of us individually. God's general purposes for his creation are still in play. He still puts men and women in charge of the planet. How well we do that is up for discussion, but God has not rescinded that general purpose. God still expects his creation to multiply and fill the earth and govern the earth. Now it's interesting, we read that from Genesis earlier, which was before the flood, and he reinforces that after the flood. And we read in Genesis 9:1, and God blessed Noah and his sons and told them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, and all the animals in the earth, all the birds of the sky, all the small animals that scurry along the ground, and all the fish in the sea will look on you with fear and terror. I have placed them in your power. So we see God keeping his purposes alive for his creation. Well, what about the New Testament? Now, you know, time's not going to allow covering all of the general purposes God has for his people in either the Old or the New. So you'll need to do a lot more further study if you want to have an exhaustive list of God's general purposes. The ones I'm going to give you are just a few, and no attempt has been made to set them in any order of importance. They are all important. So if we go to Luke chapter 10, verse 27, we read there, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So there are two very important general purposes for all of God's children. This purpose of God applies to every one of us. Loving God, all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and loving our neighbors as ourselves. If you think about Jesus for a minute, you think about the Sermon on the Mount as he talked about the kingdom, and the kingdom that Jesus envisaged was a kingdom characterized by love, and we are all called to make it happen. We haven't got to the fourth bullet yet where it says make a difference, but one of the ways that we can make a difference is bringing that kingdom of love a little closer to reality in our own little world. That's one of the general purposes of God for every one of his followers, for every follower of Jesus, making our kingdom, our influence, one of love. We find another general purpose in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6. As slaves of Christ, do the will of God with all of your heart. Work with enthusiasm. Whoops, there's that word enthusiasm that we spoke about 2 weeks ago. Work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will reward each one of us for the good we do, whether we are slaves or free. Two words to take from that. We are to be those who work. Work with enthusiasm. God is calling us to be workers in his kingdom. That applies to each and every one of us. So here's another example of a general purpose for all believers. Consider these words from Matthew chapter 10, verse 25. But Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Another general purpose that applies to each and every believer. We are called to be those who serve. Let's also look at Romans chapter 14, 17 to 19. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God and others will approve of you too. So then, let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. So once again, a general call to each and every believer to be a servant, to be one who serves, to be one who builds other believers up. Now this verse also introduces some important concepts about purpose. We talked earlier about the number of people trying to find purpose for their lives. Consider for a moment those who had lofty personal goals. They had that business dream, they had that goal of being successful, and so they worked for many years trying to attain it. But the disenchantment and the disillusionment probably started when they realized the satisfaction and fulfillment that they had anticipated and looked forward to for so many years just didn't materialize. I'm sure you've gone through that in your own lives at least a little bit, where you had this goal or this dream to do this or to do that, and then when it happened, it just wasn't what you hoped for and expected. I think if you think back to your childhood years, maybe you anticipated a new toy for Christmas, or you anticipated the fun and the joy that would come with the latest fad. How many remember hula hoops? Wow. Saved up your money for that hula hoop. Everybody was doing it. It looked like an awful lot of fun. And when you finally got enough money together to buy the hula hoop, it didn't turn out to give you the sense of satisfaction and fulfillment that you had hoped for, right? And life is like that on a bigger scale. When we chase the wrong things, we end up with a lot of emptiness. By contrast, our purpose, that is, my purpose and your purpose, is defined, or at least it should be defined, by our relationship with God, by who we are in Christ. And it should not be based on our own assumptions about what the purpose of life is all about. I mean, you can look at the billions of answers there on the internet, and you can find one that you like, but that's not necessarily God's purpose for you. We are God's adopted children, and He has given us purpose for living. This morning we've looked at several general purposes, both from the Old Testament and the New Testament, that He has given us. And we also, in addition to these general purposes, have specific purposes that we'll get into more next week. And when we are focused on pleasing Him, when we are living out the purposes that He has given, both as a general purpose and as an individual purpose, you will find joy and satisfaction in serving Jesus. And if you're not, then I would suggest you seriously begin some review and some seeking about where you are in your relationship with Him, and really seeking after the Lord to define more clearly the specific purposes that He has for you. We are God's adopted children. We are King's kids. And He has given us purposes for living. When we accept, when we find, when we diligently pursue and find those purposes, individual purposes, when we chase them with diligence and energy, He will provide the satisfaction and fulfillment that you will not find anywhere else. Furthermore, when we do that, we can look forward to confidence as we graduate to glory. We can look forward with confidence to hearing Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I think it will be a difficult day for many who have never taken seriously the effort required to seek and find those individual purposes for their lives. Or even bigger, have never diligently and with energy and resources pursued the general purposes that God has defined in His Word for us. So we're wrapping up today. We've spent most of the time speaking about general purposes that God has for His people, and we've only covered some of those. So I encourage you to read and study the Word, making note of others as you come across them. But in addition to those general purposes, He does have a specific purpose for my life. He has a specific purpose for your life. And discovering that purpose, that purpose that God has tailor-made for you, requires some effort on your part. It requires that you be seeking. It requires that you be praying for revelation, to be open to the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit speaks into your heart, and to be willing to listen. And then the more difficult part, be committed to act on what He's calling you. And I want you to note this as we finish for today and begin to think ahead to next week about individual purpose. I want you to note carefully that we can have assurance that if we do seek and we find those purposes that God is calling on us to live out, our individual purposes, I want you to know that God promises that those purposes will be fulfilled. In Psalm 57, David says, I cry out to God Most High, to God who will fulfill His purpose for me. He will send help from heaven to rescue me, disgracing those who hound me. When you think about David's life, you talk about peaks and valleys, called at a young age, anointed to be king, then chosen to be a personal counselor, personal help, personal aid to the king Saul. And then to go from that peak to the valley of being chased and hunted like an animal. And yet somehow in all of those peaks and valleys, David says, God will fulfill His purpose for me. You know, wherever you are in life, God has a purpose for you. He has a specific purpose for you. He has things He wants you to do. And He promises to give you the grace, to give you the strength, to give you the energy to complete those purposes. God is on your side. So I want to close with another God questions. Do you ever notice that? Questions prompt us to think. They prompt us to challenge ourselves. Do you personally believe, after all I've said this, I hope you do, do you believe that God has a special purpose for you? You should know that God is on your side. Do you believe that God has a special purpose for Chesley Community Church? Amen. Believe that?
Amen.
So if you believe that, you should also understand that the ability of this church to live out and accomplish God's purposes for us as a church is directly proportional to the degree to which of you are seeking and living out God's individual purposes in your lives. You see, God brings us all together in this wonderful kind of a mosaic, or maybe even more easy to picture that of a crossword puzzle with many different pieces that have different configurations, different skills, different resources. And He brings all of us together in this mosaic, knowing that if we all work together, if we all seek, find, and determine to act out His individual purposes for us, that this mosaic that we call the church will be effective and will accomplish God's purposes for it. It's all up to us as individuals to work together for the glory of God. Now the purposes that he has for you may well change as the years pass. My wife doesn't let me do roofs anymore. So I have to wait till she's not at home. Well, that's not true. I don't want to do roofs anymore. Unless they're doghouse roofs. Maybe a shed roof. You know, why would we think that the God who created us, the God who created us for part of his general purpose, but also with individual purpose, why would we think that suddenly at some point in our lives he would abandon us or abandon his hopes for us, his aspirations for us, abandon purpose for us in our lives? You have the opportunity. You have the opportunity to bless people. You have the opportunity to be part of that group that is building people up. I'll just give you a simple example. A couple of weeks ago, I got a hold of one of... Have you seen Janice's custom-made cards?
Yeah.
If you haven't seen Janice's... I'm not embarrassing her because she's not here today. But if you haven't seen Janice's amazing custom cards, you need to do that. Ask for a little view of the amazing cards that she has. So I took one of, selected one of Janice's cards, and I sent it to a lady that I'd never met in Florida. Met her husband at playing tennis, and know that she's going through multiple cancer operations, radiation, chemo. And he wrote me back this email that said, "What an amazing blessing that was to Sarah." No big deal, right? No big deal. Not bragging. I hope I'm not sounding like a brag. But I'm just saying, there's so many things that you can do, regardless of wherever you are in life, to be part of this mosaic that the Lord is trying to pull together here at church with not ordinary, but exceptional love one for another. Where God is trying to pull together this mosaic where we're all working together to build one another up and to encourage one another. Where God is pulling together this mosaic where some people... And I believe that God has given each of us a spiritual gift, because that's what his word says. Pulling people together that can, with anointing, pray for someone that's going through a difficult time, a financial crisis or whatever. Can encourage someone other with that word of encouragement that's Holy Spirit dynamically anointed by the power of God. Calling us to step out of the ordinary, to step out of the routine and believe that God is pulling together a mosaic that is extraordinary, amen, way above what we might hope or imagine.
Amen.
Isn't that what the word says?
Yes.
My God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory. Hallelujah. Above whatever we might have wildly dreamed or imagined, God is doing an amazing thing if we yield ourselves to his will and purposes. His will and purposes for each and every one of us. Let's pray.